Kate Hennig, your nurse in Romeo and Juliet, what do you think of the role?
I'm having such a great time. It's Tim Carroll, who's the director on this production of Romeo and Juliet, has brought us to a place that none of us have ever really been before. He's really opened up this idea of the original practices of Shakespeare. And so it certainly is not the interpretation, let's say, that I would have thought, I'm going to explore the nurse in the way that I want to explore the nurse. It was made very clear when we came into rehearsals that that would not be the case. But what I have found is an absolute gift, I think, in the way that Tim has opened up the play for all of us.
Now, what about your other show? Is it a less different kind of direction?
Well, I suppose it's sort of more a bit more standard. But again, I think Donna Fior, who directed Fiddler on the Roof, has, with the amount of talent that she has cast and put onto that stage, and the brilliance of the piece itself, I think we have a really remarkable production of Fiddler on the Roof as well. I feel very, very blessed to be in such a variety of plays. Like, the difference between the two of them is extreme, and then to have such two gems of parts to play.
Now, Shakespeare is considered to have been an actor who moved up to a playwright. Donna Fior started out here as a backstage dancer kind of person, and now she's directing. Does this change a play that you have someone who has been out on stage learning what works and what doesn't work?
Well, I think it's so interesting because Tim is not that. Tim is an intellectual and an academic, and he comes from an academic background, and he is able to open up a play in a particular way as well, perhaps not with the same kind of insight, not from the perspective of the process of the actor, whereas Donna definitely understands that. And Donna has played on that stage and played musicals on that stage, and the festival stage is a very particular beast. And so she has a real insight into how to work with the space, especially.
I remember interviewing a person who was doing a musical here for the first time who said it's a very difficult space to work in because you have to move constantly to speak to the different seating sections. You can't just stand there, like an opera singing something, and you have to keep moving, and it makes it different.
Right. There's no sort of, the expression we use is park and bark, right? You cannot do that. You do have to keep moving. But it actually, I think in our lives, conversation is actually more fluid when the body, when the physical body is engaged. And so I find that fluidity is what the festival stage actually brings out, which is kind of a brilliant thing and kind of, again, a gift to the actor. If you are moving physically, you move vocally as well.
Now, you're doing a musical about a time that is long past, shadowed by the Holocaust, and a play about Elizabethan love that just never quite seems to age because the 13-year-olds of today, situations are certainly different, but it's really about first love. Mm-hmm. And creating two very different plays, two very different productions.
Absolutely. I don't think that they could be more extreme in some ways. If you were to see, and you can see, both of these plays in one day, it's quite extraordinary to see not only the difference in the physical setting of the plays, but of course the range of material that you get to see and that you get to see throughout the whole festival. I mean, it really, it never ceases to surprise me that there are plays like Blythe Spirit, like Tommy, like Mary Stuart, like Measure for Measure, and then Fiddler, and so on. And it just is, for people who come up here to see the theater, there is a real wealth of variety here for people to see.
I really want to get back up and see Maria Stuart because I had to read it in German in college, and I want to see how it plays out in English.
Right.
What kind of theater training do you have?
Well, kind of all sorts. I have a real mixed bag. I guess I started my training when I knew absolutely nothing, and that was in the musical theater program at the Banff School of Fine Arts in the summer of 1980. So that was kind of the beginning of my training. From there, I did go to York University for a year, but then I just got out into the world and I started to train myself by working and by taking classes that were necessary. And then much later in my life, 20 years later, I took a master's degree in voice studies at the Central School of Speech and Drama in London, England.
Now, the difference, of course, about musicals is not just the physical strain of doing a musical, but you're trying to sing, and you have to sing, if you're not mic'd, loudly enough to be heard in the back row, but not strain your voice. There must be constraints that you feel in being careful about how you sing.
Absolutely. And being a musical theater artist is it is such a unique craft, and sometimes looked down on by people who feel that their association is more with the higher arts, but it's a constant technical exercise as well as the physical and emotional exercise of acting and performing. You do have to absolutely know how to place those notes, how to place your voice and work your voice carefully for the theater, particularly this theater, which is two-thirds in the round, you know.
You mentioned Donna Fiore, who's directing it. She's danced and sung on this stage. Does that affect the way she directs the show to be very careful of the voices and the dancers' performances?
Right. Donna and I actually worked together here in the late 80s. So we shared a dressing room together. So I've known Donna for a long time, and I knew her, and we were absolutely on that stage together as young people. And she, having the experience on this stage is enormously important. Working with Scott Wentworth as well. Scott Wentworth is playing Tevye, and he is an absolute master. He is an absolute master of the technical facility required to keep on moving constantly, to play every person in that house so that they become his scene partners. And Donna, of course, is right in there with Scott, creating those relationships and honing those relationships as we proceed, particularly through previews. That's what that wonderful time of previews is all about, is learning how to transition the play that we've worked in rehearsal into the actual performance that we will be playing for the rest of the season.
How long did you rehearse, and how many performances, preview and regular season, will you do for Fiddler?
Gosh, I can't actually give you the numbers. We started rehearsals in February, and we began previews in the beginning of May, middle of May. But that rehearsal process is a repertory rehearsal process. So at the same time as we're rehearsing Fiddler on the Roof, some of us were rehearsing Romeo and Juliet, some of us were rehearsing Tommy. So it's a very complex, it's almost like a puzzle that they have to put together to make sure that people arrive at the right place at the right time. And then previews, we had, it wasn't the end of May, it was the end of April we started previews. So we had, I'm going to say around 20 previews with audiences, at just the right amount to really know and understand how to engage with the audience in this beautiful storytelling. Because absolutely, we don't know what our play is until it meets the public, which is such a beautiful, it's such a beautiful thing. It feels so, those people who see the first preview, they got lots of guts, I think. But that really is a special moment for us.
Well, you must have done shows in other theaters where 20 performances, it's the end of the run.
Exactly. You know, very many times, as a matter of fact, you do 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, you know, in a stock run. So, yes, and that's an interesting part as well, is crafting a performance which you can sustain over the course of 6 to 8 months, not just over the course of 3 weeks. So that as well is a very technical challenge.
When you're doing a show like this, do you go swimming every day or watch what you eat every day? Or what do you do to keep yourself in shape to get out there and do it?
Yeah, I'm not a young girl anymore. So I watch some of the young ones. They can go out and party every night and so on and still, you know, kind of get that aspect of their life going on. But for someone in their middle age, it is absolutely, I go to the gym. I come in and I do warm-ups, you know, really, really dedicatedly. Every day I do a warm-up before the show. We have beautiful scheduled warm-ups here that are led by our coaching staff, which are just fantastic. So physical warm-up and a vocal warm-up, go to the gym, watch what you eat, get enough sleep, try wash your hands a lot so you're not contracting germs that are everywhere. And touch wood. You know, I haven't had a cold this season, although many folks have had. And of course, when one's singing, one has to really, really be careful of viruses that affect the vocal folds, yeah.
For a performance of Romeo and Juliet, do you warm up differently or get ready differently?
Absolutely. The head of coaching here, Janine Pearson, runs the warm-ups for the acting company, and those warm-ups are very very gentle, very opening, it's a real slow ramp up to where we need to be for the show. Whereas for a musical, the energy in the musical company is awesome. And so we come in and we just get kind of right to it. There's a real physical dance warm-up, and then there's a very physical vocal warm-up, and it's a much more assertive kind of warm-up procedure. So yeah, very, very different for both shows.
Now, every performer I've ever met has that show that he wants to do or she wants to do and is always hoping that that's the one they're going to do this year. I want that show and I want that part. Is there a show you really want to do that hasn't been done here?
Oh, gosh. That is such a hard question. I would love the chance to play Mama Rose in Gypsy. It has been done here, and it's been done relatively recently at the Shaw Festival. I was the alternate Mama Rose in Gypsy at the Shaw Festival in 2005, when Nora McClellan played the part. It's a great role. I would love to play Cleopatra. That's bold. That's a bit bold. But yeah, sure, why not? Reach for the stars, right?
Why is it bold?
I guess it's one of the difficult things about being in the musical theater is you are always clawing and scratching for people to really allow you to define yourself as an actor as well. So it feels like there are two different boats, and it's kind of hard to jump from one boat to the other all the time, which I've done. I've managed pretty well, I have to say, over the last 30 years. I have had great roles in both the musical theater and in the straight theater. So, but that part at the Stratford Festival, whoa, that is a coveted part. So I think there would be a lot of women clawing and scratching to play that part. So that's all. Just saying, you know, there would be a high competition.
But that's one of the interesting things about both the Shaw Festival and the Stratford Festival, that you, for example, you doing Nurse this year and doing Fiddler. It's not unusual to be both doing a musical production and a, straight production, because they need the people.
Well, that's exactly it. And that is one of the great gifts of repertory theater to me personally, because I am an actor. I have been an actor, you know, since I was in school, grade school. And musicals actually came to me second because I could sing. I've been singing in the church choir since I was 4 years old, you know. So both of those skills I didn't see as being disparate. I didn't see them as being two things that couldn't be married. And so all of my career, I've brought them both up, and I've brought my skill level up in both of them equally. But that is, I'm proud to say, I'm a rare bird. And there are not a lot of people who have the skill in both sets of both schools, if you will.
I suppose it goes back. There's a shortage of tenors, but there are a lot of sopranos.
There you go. That's always the way, right? Yeah.
Do you ever meet with the people who run the show, run the festival here, and say, "Boy, I'd like to play that part"?
Well, I haven't yet with Anthony, although I think I will later on. Anthony Cimolino and I go way back. Donna Fiore and I go way back. Like, there are people here. Well, Scott Wentworth and I were, Scotty started the year before I started here. But we were in my first show together here, which was The Taming of the Shrew that Richard Manette directed back in 1988, I think it was. And that was my first season, and Scotty and I were in that show together. So there are so many people here that I go back with. And then Anthony, I think, came that season or the following season as an actor. So I go back with Anthony a long way as well. And yes, I expect I will sit down with him at some point. He's just a little bit busy right now. But I think I will sit down with him at some point in the summer and just say, just ask him where he sees, you know, my place here. How does he see me? How does he see me evolving as an artist inside this beautiful framework of the Stratford Festival, if indeed he sees me at all evolving as an artist inside this framework?
Well, Anthony is essentially a child of the Stratford Festival. He's worked his way up, and this is going from a classroom teacher to being superintendent of schools in some district. He started out here, and I remember interviewing him that first year he was here as an actor. So he knows the good points, the strong points, the people he wants around and the people he doesn't want around. And that must affect decisions around here. He's not being dropped in as Tim Carroll is being dropped in for Romeo and Juliet.
I think that's exactly right. And when I heard that Anthony Cimolino was going to be the artistic director at the Stratford Festival, I said a big hooray. Because I think that Anthony has absolutely, he has grown up in this place. And he knows this place now better than anyone around. And I think he is the right leader for this place at this time. And I'm really excited about the ideas that he has, the way that he sort of the cross-pollination of the plays that he chooses, the way that the forum is developing to support the ideas and the threads that he's trying to draw between the plays that he chooses. I'm just really excited about his time here.
Thank you, Kate Hennig.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.